Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. This week we speak to the Manx National Farmers Union President, Murray Kringle, to see what challenges are around the agricultural industry and how he's finding his new role as the President.
I went along to Mary Veg in Santon to the Clay Target Shooting Club to witness some of the shooters there, some for the first time as well, all raising money for hospice. And also I went along to Silverdale Lake to speak to some of the people involved in the Manx Model Boat Club event. Well, loads to get through today, Kerry. Firstly, I think we'll hear from Murray Kringle, president of the Manx National Farmers Union.
Yes, Murray's been waiting in the wings for a couple of years as the vice president, and it was great to see him take up the role in November. I caught up with Murray to find out what the opportunities and challenges are for the agricultural sector right now.
Yeah, I'm into my role now as president. I've followed some extremely good presidents that have gone before me and learnt bits after watching what they do. I didn't have a great start, so I would like to put on record my thanks to the previous president, yourself, who instead of getting eased in, got absolutely sunk, and particularly the girls in the office, Sarah and Caroline. What a wonderful job they do for us. And on the whole, but enjoying it thoroughly at the moment, yeah, great.
And you touched on the Friary, Murray, and this is a well-known farm in the south of the island in Ballaberg here. You've been involved with agriculture all of your life, and what was it like growing up here?
An absolute dream. I mean, it's a great way of life to grow up on a farm anyway as a child, because you've got freedom and you probably learn to take your own risks. And quite frankly, batter yourself a few times, but a good lesson learned. From a young age, I was always handling stock. So probably helped me when I played my own bit of rugby, because I'd been smacked around enough times by cattle, obviously. And then I was sorting stock at the mart for a long time as well. So well used to taking a bit of hiding. But here on the Friary is an ideal family farm. Cattle's always on, always people in and out, always sat at the table having a chat, listen to stuff I probably shouldn't have been listening to, but learning to keep me gob shut as well. So, yeah, good education, to be fair.
And I suppose that would have set you up quite nicely for this role in the political circles now in the Isle of Man, Murray. How are you finding it, you know, taking the farmers' plights into government, you know, leading up the whole of the agricultural community?
Proud to be doing it. I probably was always going to have a little bit of a foot in a welly on being politically motivated, obviously, with what Dad did in his time. I do a little bit at local politic level anyway. So I've done, you know, now on 30 years now as a local commissioner around here. The village itself, we sit right bang in the middle. So we like to think, you know, if there's any events, we've always a field available as much as possible, as long as it fits in with our farming world, to have them. But on a political level itself, I'm finding it interesting. I don't doubt we're going to get busy now over the next few months with the election coming up. And we are still lucky that we are allowed to meet regularly with our own minister and with other ministerial colleagues. And we do have a good working relationship with them. But I do think our margins in agriculture have seriously tightened up. We haven't followed the rest of the game and had the rises that, as much as you hear people say, their prices have gone up. Let's be real, if you look at a pint of milk and a bottle of water, it's dearer to buy water than blooming milk. Well, quite frankly, to produce milk is a lot dearer than getting a bottle of water. So we're looking to keep increasing prices if we can. I know government like cheap food, but on the same token, we cannot do this for nothing. All of our costs have gone up, so we will be keeping pushing as hard as we can.
And that said, Murray, obviously broadly across the agricultural sectors, are some sectors thriving better than others?
Well, it always used to be, certainly with a mixed farm, if you had beef and sheep, if the beef was doing all right and the sheep weren't, it didn't matter. If the cows were doing all right, you'd have the milk. But if the beef wasn't coming so good, because you'd have the other one underwriting it. These days, I would say at this moment, I've never seen so many sectors feeling the squeeze like they are. You'll be as aware as I am, Kerry, we've sat through a few meetings in the last 10 days with all of our sectors, and they've all coming with the same plight. It's getting harder and harder. Now, you can't just keep pushing farmers, because in the end, they will say no as well. I don't think it's fair to do it. I think we need to have some social conscience as well. And quite frankly, the Isle of Man looks like it does because of what we do and how we farm it. And whether it's for our mental health to enjoy just as we go around, or whether it's for holidaymakers, or whether it's for our biosphere, we are at the back of it all. And if government had to look at after it like we do, I don't doubt it might have cost 5 or 10 quid more.
This is very, very true. And you're talking locally, but what is the global conflicts and the global positioning having, you know, is it an effect on the Isle of Man's farmers?
All global happenings will have effects on us, not only on the market price, but on our imports as well and our inputs, you know. And whether it be fuel, which everybody's seen at the garage when they fill their car up, well, we just deal in multiples of that on farm with our diesel. And whether it be insurance, which is rising, whether it be absolutely any cost that a house has, we have it put in multiples off. So it affects us constantly. We watch it constantly, and we do the best to keep a tight belt on it.
And we talk about the fertilisers and sort of the cost of production on farm now, routes to market. You know, all of these things are a real hot topic. You know, how are we finding the routes to market for our island's farmers?
Routes to markets have been a concern to the union for a fair while. We have done a fair piece of work on it, and we do constantly still speak to government about it and do keep pressing. We would like to see the ability to export product at a reduced cost yet. We do get some help, but I'm hoping we can maybe get that squeezed a bit better, because, of course, if you put stock out or crop out, it's new money coming back into our island. So it's always good to have a look at that as well. So we will keep pushing on it.
We're talking now routes to market, but stabilisation of these markets. I know it is volatile around the world. You know, we've got big tankers coming in with various commodities. You know, you've got New Zealand lamb, Australian lamb coming up. You know, we've got to be competitive. Are farmers ever ready?
Farmers are ready, and farmers are ready to work hard, but there has to be a living in the job. So, you know, we need to always keep that in the back of our mind. So, I mean, there is still a great concern at our 6% of Manx product being consumed in the Isle of Man. And quite frankly, the UK are net importers. So if we do, and it's, you know, at some stage, this train could very well be coming down the track and food gets to be a serious concern, I'm quite certain the UK are going to feed their own before it gets here. So logic to me says if they're importing now, they're going to feed their own. There'll be nothing coming here at all, or at a reduced quantity. So we need Manx production. But we would love the consumers, who are super to support us, and we really do appreciate that. But ask for Manx, look for Manx, and consume seasonally. That's the way to go.
And you talk about young farmers in agriculture, Murray, and they are, you know, have the ability to ramp up. What is the future looking like for them?
I do have some concerns for next gen, as I wish to have a little buzzword on it. But the next generation farmers, the costs on going in are so high. It's a really hard piece for them to get in. Lots of them come in off the back of family, if they're lucky enough to be blessed that way. We do not see many in the Isle of Man that come up through from nothing to get going. And those that do, I hold my hands up in admiration of their drive and what they're prepared to commit to make it happen. You'll find that most rural agriculturists, it's in their blood, it's in their bones, and it's what they want to do, and they're prepared to do it to the best of their ability. But we do need the next generation to be ready to come in, and I think they are. They want the opportunities, and they probably need the ability to borrow the money at the right price.
You talk about money, Murray. Is there support coming from, you know, the Department of Agriculture, Food and Environment? You know, they've got schemes, subvention for the meat plant. How do you see all of that? Is it going in the right direction?
We appreciate very much the support we're getting. I would make the point that it hasn't increased of great quantities. Certainly hasn't kept up with inflation by any means. You know, so we are very appreciative of what we get. We probably could not do it without it, is the honest answer. Or certainly by my figures, I couldn't. But you have to take a long, hard look at your own books and make your own decisions. We're all individual businesses. I'm just so proud of our own Manx farming community who keep going and keep producing and keep our island looking like it looks. They're doing a cracking job.
And on a more positive note, Murray, the Manx National Farmers Union are good to push initiatives. They're good to campaign into the schools, the countryside code. There's lots of positives that you're trying to do around education and marketing. I'm sure you'll be looking forward to the shows that are coming up as well.
Yeah, I enjoy the shows. Both shows are cracking days out for anybody to go along. Please come along to the union stand. We will be at both shows. It's always great just to meet different people, have a chat, and we're there all day. We never disappear. And it's lovely to have their ideas and their views. It's nice to meet up there. A lovely day. I'm sure they're going to be sunny and we're all going to be eating lots of ice cream.
Like you say, it's an exciting time ahead. Possibly new faces into the House of Keys this September. I see the Manx National Farmers Union have got their manifesto out. Could this be an opportunity to catch up with these people too?
We'd like to think so. We are there for them to speak to. We have contacted people as they announce their standing. So they're quite free to come and chat with us there. They're free to speak to us anytime, quite honestly. We're always available for them. And we will probably do a presentation at some time as well to deal with them. So, yes, we will look to get into their ears. That's our job to do that. And we are here to represent the Manx farming community.
There we go. That was Murray Kringle, the Manx National Farmers Union president.
Yeah, and I think Murray was welcomed into that position there, Kerry, you know, with the vast experience that Murray's got and a sort of level head as well.
Very much so. He's been around the industry, as he said there, from a young fella right up through, and he sees it from both sides. He's very diplomatic, but understands the plight in all the different sectors. A great person to have represent the industry at the moment.
Yeah, and tricky time. I'd imagine by the sound of it for the milk producers on the island too.
This is it. The pork sector's struggling, the milk sector's struggling. You know, we've got to have strong collaboration with the government departments to make sure the processors are able to process and for us to compete with the global imports, food security. There's an awful lot going on and we must get our heads together to forge a good future for the next generation, you know, if not this generation too.
Indeed. Well, of course, money is such a topic around everything on the Isle of Man, and hospice has been a victim of it as well of late. But one popular event was happening over the weekend. On Sunday, I popped down to the Mary Veg Isle of Man clay target shooting range to meet up with Peter Kelly, who was in charge of the shoot for the day, all the money raised going to hospice. And I went round, had a go myself at the traps, and spoke to Peter afterwards to see how things had gone.
Well, Peter Kelly, it's just finished, I think, now. What a fantastic day, a great turnout.
Yes, we had 100 entries, everything round the time. There's one or two little hiccups that you always get with the traps either not being filled or one or two others, but otherwise, all in all, it's been a fantastic day. Thanks to all the sponsors, Ely Hawk, Lepore Clays, Harrison and Garrett, NFU. Without them, it wouldn't be possible. They donate a lot, and all the help from the club members. We've got, there was 25 teams. We just get all the scores in now, and then we'll see what the medal presentation. And we're hoping to do the presentation of the cheque to hospice on the 19th of July. We normally do it at our annual dinner, but that's been moved this year. So we're going to do it on the 19th of July, and at the moment we've raised over 40,000 for them.
Really?
Yeah.
It's fantastic though, isn't it? Because it's a chance for people to, I think, you know, who would never get the opportunity or think about doing this occasionally, be roped in by their friends, great supervision, and as you mentioned, the great team you've got here, Peter, just advising them, encouraging them.
Well, it's like clay shooting. People get the wrong idea about being guns and what have you, but it's one of the most disciplined sports you'll ever get, because if you're not disciplined, you don't do it. It's as simple as that. And we're rigorously to make sure that it's health and safety, gun safety. Anybody who wants to come down on a Wednesday afternoon, Saturday morning, there's always senior members here willing to coach you. And it's not that expensive, really. But, you know, I've been doing it since I was 12.
Really?
And so that's nearly 60 years ago.
But I've walked around with one of the groups today, and there's such a variety of different traps here, replicating all the types of shooting that's involved in the general world, I suppose.
Yeah, well, the sporting shooting, it used to represent game shooting, which was, they used to call them all different things after. There used to be the dropping pigeon, the dropping duck, the rabbits and all that, but be to political correctness now, you can't call them that. It's so we just use
a running clay,
a running clay, a batu, a midi,
floater, a standard, is it? I heard
a black. You got black clays, orange clays, we can have yellow, green, any colour you think of can be thrown by the traps. And it's a great credit to all the members. We've got over 100 members in the club as well. And what I say, the hospice was started in 2011 in memory of my wife that died in 2010. And what I say, up to now, we've raised over 40,000 for hospice.
That's incredible. And you know, it's
if you shot in it next year, you'll get a polo shirt as well.
I'll be in it next year.
Yeah, that's
don't
good.
Worry
that's
about
good.
That. I've been told I'm going in it anyway.
Yeah.
But it is great to see so many smiling faces. They're all still here waiting for the results. And this. Although it's a bit blustery today, Peter, the sun is shining and we're right out of the way, so it's not disturbing anyone.
No. And we're very conscious of, say, what neighbours. We've got the sewage plant next door, which I don't think they're too bothered. But the nearest neighbours is somewhere in the region of 3/4 of a mile away. And we're very conscious of not upsetting them. Like, so now we're finished and I don't know what the exact time is. It's about 3:45, I think. And we try not to overstep the mark, so they know we'll finish at a certain time, so all the neighbours are like the finish for the day.
And the Isle of Man, leading on to the success that the Isle of Man, Peter, has had in shooting in a lot of worldwide competition in the past as well.
Oh yes, we've had people shooting in the Olympics. I've shot in 4 Commonwealth Games myself. I've got over 20 medals in the Island Games. And I'm just so disappointed when the Island Games are here in 29 that we haven't got shooting in.
Really?
Yes, and I don't know. I think it's political, but that's my view. No. But we could put something on here, no problem. I would like to see the reason why there's no shooting actually on in the Island Games. And this, because it's one of the most disciplined sports, what I say before, you'll ever get.
Well, but that apart from that, many competitions, is it all year round for the shooters?
All year round. Every Sunday there's competition. The only Sunday we don't shoot here is Remembrance Sunday. And that's a very good patron before he died, now with George Castain. And one thing, he was adamant that we should not shoot on Armistice Sunday.
Yeah.
So, because we use guns, and guns is what caused the wars.
Right.
Was used in the wars, so we don't shoot on Armistice Sunday.
But all in all, it's been a great day and some great work by you and your team. So you should be proud of yourselves, and a lot of money raised for hospice.
Yes, I'm not sure, but we're hoping to be at least the same again this year. We raised 3,500 last year, and we're hoping for the same again this year. And until we tot all the figures up and what have you, and expenses, take them off, we know, but last year we had 84 entries. This year we got 100. Well,
you're queuing up next year then.
Well,
can you hold more?
what we'd have to do, if we did haul more, we would have to haul the presentation another time because it'd be too late.
Right.
You know, it's just, again, it's just, we've got to think of the neighbours again. It's all, 100 is plenty, I think.
Yeah, okay. You know. Well, well done to you and your team, Peter.
Right, thank you.
Peter Kelly there from the Isle of Man Clay Target Shooting Club down at Maryveig. And what a day. There were some great people there. You know, some doing it for the first or second times. Some experienced shooters there as well. And I went round with all of them and chatted to Peter there at the end. And, you know, just on a sadder note, just so bad that, you know, or certainly in Peter's eyes, that there's no shooting at the Island Games with such success that the Isle of Man have had over the years.
That success has been unbelievable, you know, right the way through from young people to older people, or, you know, male and female. You can all take part in the shooting, and they put on the clubs every single weekend without fail. They you know, invest in that sport so heavily. It's such a shame. Hopefully they can come to some arrangement and have it in the Island Games, especially after all them successes.
Yeah, but take nothing away from the day. It really was a great day. The sun was shining. It's a little bit windy, but it was nice to get there. I had a little crack at a couple of targets myself. So.
Were you any good?
I was all right with the straight one coming towards me. Hit 4 out of 4, Kieran.
Really?
Yeah,
fancy
but
that.
The one going sideways is a bit tricky. I only had 2 at that one. So,
I'll just be the wind, that one.
I would say so, yeah. You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, Silverdale was hosting the Manx Model Boat Club's event. They were on display, all the models. There was kids having go on the lakes of driving the remote controlled boats, and also competitions as well that happened. One of the members there had a chat with me during the event and told me more about it and some of the models that were on display. Here's Kim Holland.
What a display of model boats you've got here today.
It's nice to be able to see you. We very much appreciate being able to advertise our events with Manx Radio, and it's good to see we've got a nice crowd of people come down here to just watch what we're up to.
And it's incredible. I mean, the general public have come around here, and I think there's a lot of surprised faces on what people can build and put on display here of model boats, isn't it?
Yeah, today is day one of our annual Mananan two-day boat festival, and this morning we had an on-the-water competition where we invite a judge, and they choose what to them is their best looking boat. Included in that competition this morning is the Manx National Heritage Trophy, which goes to the boat deemed the nicest that has a Manx connection. For example, Tara Ushti, one of the harbourable boats. Could it be a steam packet boat or a fishing boat? And in front of us now, you can see Odin PL5 and the wonderful wooden ringer boat that it is. Mm.
But there's all sorts, isn't it? You've just mentioned the fishing boat here. You showed me this, the Black Pearl, is it? And you've just showed me a box with a picture on that you actually copied and made this from. And it's... Well, I would say an exact replica of the picture came there.
Yeah, you've seen another example with John Hancock's, who's building a large 6-foot coaster, and he's using newspaper as the outer hull, and you were looking at the detailed plans that he was using there. Black Pearl is an example of... This image I found on the website looks too good to turn down to not convert into a three-dimensional image of boat, and yeah, looking at it, it's turned out wonderful.
How long would it take you to build that? Obviously, it's such a meticulous process, you don't want to get anything wrong.
I wouldn't say meticulous, because if you've actually seen this model, it comes across as a bit of a derelict-looking harbour tug with a wonderful little bearded fellow, the skipper at the top, who's actually a Frenchman. It's a French cartoon character. And I suppose 200 hours? Something about that.
But that boat you mentioned, that if we walk over to it now, not much good for the listener, but the newspapers are all... It's sort of... reminiscent of paper mache we did at school?
Yes, it'd be along the same lines. He's created the hole with timber on the inside and then roughly filled it out, made the shape with cardboard, and then he's overlaid that with newspaper strips, as you say, layer upon layer, glued on, which is the paper mache technique. And he'll finish that off with a hard varnish, and then he'll paint it. And you would not be able to tell the difference.
But the pieces of paper with the drawings on, the plans, it's very like you'd see for a big grand design house coming from an architect.
They're proper ship's plans, and we convert them into bottles. You can either buy kits, then somebody's already done that for you, or you show your expertise, and John, an artist, can convert any given plan into a three-dimensional hull and to a superb finished model.
Now, I see on the board here that most of them have got a radio-controlled system on. Is that a fairly sort of standard arrangement, or is there different types of that, you know, propeller-drivens and things like that?
The radio gear now is more or less all what we call 2.4 gigahertz. The old sets, 27 and 40 megahertz, they've gone by the by now. I was showing you earlier a replica radio set which used to have the valve system in it. That's long gone, but some of the older boys still like to rebuild their radio sets in the old form. You're talking about the propulsion units on the boats. Standard propellers on most of them. We've got some hovercraft here, which obviously are using propellers to lift off the water as well as drive them forward. And then we'll be discussing some of the tugs and the unique Vorschneider units, which is a vertical propeller under the tug, which gives it superb maneuverability and pull in any direction.
Looking onto the Silverdale Lake here, I've noticed like a big oil tanker or cargo boat there, and there was a boat on the front tow and one on the back, and that looked quite tricky to master, does it? Is there certain techniques for that?
Oh yes, we do tug towing with the tug just on the front, and you try and pull the tow around behind you, and that's hard enough.
I heard a gog mentioned.
Ah, right. When you're towing the boat, you've got to ensure that the tow point on the towing vessel is directly above the propellers. If it's not, then the tow actually takes over the steering control of the towing vessel. It's very hard to describe truly until you actually see it happening on the water. The gog rope holds the tow rope over the propulsion end. What can happen is the tug can sometimes get pulled broadside on, and then I've forgotten the term he used, can be capsized by the tow, and of course that happens fairly quickly and boats sink.
But such pride by the people shown here, and I think the appreciation by the people who've come to watch as well, because there's young and old here, and you've even got something for the kids to have a go with.
We make a small pen with some mini tugs for the children to play with. We simply pen them in because if you give children an acre of water, they'll have the boats all over that acre of water. The adults are just as bad, so we try and pen them in. That way they can keep control of the boat a bit easier, and we know exactly what they're up to, and we can keep control of what they're up to.
There's all sorts. There's old Manx steam packet boats here. The Manning dredger is here, and there's every type of boat from warships, as you mentioned, submarines. There's a crocodile here as well.
Yes, there's a crocodile here. You can hear him laughing in the background, the crocodile skipper. Yes, and we've also got two swans today. There's one here, one here.
So they'll go on the water too?
I've managed to get some pictures of them today, making friends on the water, shall we say. Both have mobile heads, and both squirt water just to keep the watchers away.
Yeah. Well, obviously you're part of the Isle of Man, but I mean, do you go away a lot to the displays and events off island?
We used to be away two or three times a year, but now we just go away to the Blackpool Model Boat Show, which this year is in early September. So we'll be on our way there in about 70 days' time.
Is it quite quite rivalry, the
it's very much that way.
Picky, do they, or that mast wasn't quite that size on that boat?
Yes, they could be judging that way. It's not quite that bad, but it'd probably be about 30 clubs. But there are also the radio controlled vehicles, there's the war gamers, and there are some steam plant, there's some skeletrics there. It's a modelers.
We spoke about the remote controls, very similar to when you got the little model aeroplanes and the little small drones and things like that. I mean, does it ever get sort of messed up where you think, oh, why isn't my boat doing what I'm doing? And somebody else has got the same frequency, does that happen?
Oh, yeah. That used to happen a lot in the old days.
On purpose or by accident?
Well, let's say by accident, but the old days, the older sets, if you had a crystal frequency next door to somebody else, there was overlap on the frequencies. So if your boat was further away than his boat, then his boat would take your signal and you'd be wondering what was going on. With the new modern equipment, that doesn't happen anymore, thank goodness. I mean, God forbid, when they're radio-controlled aeroplanes, and they have frequency crossovers like that, you're just wondering what's going to happen to the plane when it's flying around. So we have fail safes now on the modern equipment, so if something goes wrong, they're pre-programmed to shut down, either fly loops or turn the engine off so everything comes back down.
We're on the Silverdale Lake here, and it's proved quite a popular one for yourselves. I mean, can the stand rough weather or rough sort of waters, or is it similar to the general out in the sea in that respect as well?
Well, you've got to look at it, the scale of things. We do occasionally sink. The boats are always repairable and recoverable. We tend not to sail in heavy rain, and heavy wind is quite annoying, but generally no. I like to see the boats with a bit of rough water. They're makes them look but more authentic, I think.
Well, it's absolutely brilliant to see such a display on here today. And if anyone wants to get more information on the model boat, the Isle of Man branch of it, Kim, where can they contact or who?
Oh, well, we have a website. That's manxmodelboatclub.org, all one word. And you can find us, this is from memory only, I think it's mmbc@gmail.com. We unfortunately decided to drop the manx.net. Say no more.
There we are, Kim Holland from the Manx Model Boat Club there at Silverdale. And what a great spectacle seeing young and old there. And the detail on the models that's there, Kerry, absolutely unbelievable. From little men, little radio masts on them, fishing pots on the side of them, you know.
It's
and that
fabulous
boat there that has like a proper architectural drawing that you'd see for a house.
No
incredible
way.
Yeah.
And they're building it as
yeah,
we speak.
Yeah.
Flipping heck. I think it's lovely here on the Isle of Man that we have so many clubs, so many organisations doing these kind of hobbies. It's just wonderful, whether you've been involved in maritime over your lifetime and this is what you sort of retired and enjoy doing now, or whether you just like it.
Yeah, because you think about the Airfix models of aeroplanes that we used to build when we were kids, and then they evolved into having little engines and propellers on them. But I suppose the boat, you maybe got less chance of sinking the boat than crashing the aeroplane, so to speak. But it was great, and it's well supported as well by the members, but always looking for new ones, as you heard there.
Of course.
Well, that's it for this week's Countryside. Don't forget, if you've missed any of the programmes or want to hear the interviews in a fuller detail, just go to manxradio.com and download the podcast. It's all free, and you go to the listen again at Manx Radio as well. But we'll be back next week with more from the countryside. So until then, from me, Simon Clark.
I'm me, Kerry Kermode.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.